Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This song we're going to do this morning, it's got two parts. Susan and I are going to sing one part, and then Kathy and Christy are going to echo another part, and you can sing whichever part you want. Would you stand and sing with us, please? Join us in worship.
Precious in His sight, as we sing our Father's praise. Just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong,
in a family,
in a family,
God's family,
God's family,
just to be one,
just to be one.
Of His daughters and sons.
Of His daughters and sons.
That's what we really want.
That's what we really want.
To be known and loved.
To be known and loved.
No one alone in this place.
In this place.
Bound here together in His grace.
In His grace.
Precious in His sight, as we sing our Father's praise. In God's family,
in God's family,
there's a place for me.
There's a place for me.
In God's family,
in God's family,
it's where I want to be.
It's where I want to be.
In God's family. God's family,
in God's family,
it's where I want to be,
it's where I want to be.
In God's family.
And all God's people said, amen. Please, be seated.
I'm Dick Baldwin. I'm the trustee in this church and a lay speaker, and I'm here for Father's Day today in place of our regular pastor, Pastor Cheryl. She's away on vacation for 2 weeks. You won't hear her next week either, but we do get to hear Scott Paul next week, so you'll look forward to that. I want to mention the cards that are found in your seat pocket. The blue one is for visitors. Give us a little bit of information about you. We'd be glad to hear that you were here today. And the yellow one is a prayer request card. If you have a prayer that you'd like us to pray about tomorrow evening right here, fill that out and put it in the basket when the collection comes around. There's a few announcements. but you'll hear more later probably about VBS. There's a fellowship dinner this week on Thursday evening, and those of you that attend yoga, I understand that those are canceled for the rest of the month, so practice at home. I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. I'm Roy Baldwin. I'm the younger of the brothers today. You're getting a double dose. I brought your message on Mother's Day, and he's going to bring you the message on Father's Day. So our parents would be very happy today. They'd be very proud. It's good to see you in worship this morning. We light these candles as we begin to worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Would you please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, found on page 574 in your pew Bible. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of all people. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own insight. All the ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. God of wonder and glory, this world around us is awesome. You created it. You continue to hold it together, even as we threaten to tear it apart. God of justice and righteousness, to you we look for the truth. You are the ultimate judge. Your wisdom cuts through the lies. God of grace and mercy, the love you have shown us in Jesus is more than we deserve. Your arms are open wide, like a waiting father for his prodigal children, ready to welcome and restore. We come to you just now thirsting for your living water. Guide us to the streams of your wonder and glory, your justice and your righteousness, your grace and your mercy, that we may drink and be satisfied, renewed for our continuing journey through Christ. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to invite the kiddos forward really fast for just a second. We started last week in the children's ministry, we started talking about big Bible stories. And we talked about the creation story and Adam and Eve last week. And this week, we're talking about this dude named Noah. Have you guys heard of Noah?
Yes.
He's a pretty awesome dude. And he lived at a time where the world had gone completely wrong. Everybody turned away from God. But Noah was found to be a righteous man. And because Noah was found to be righteous and to still be following God when the entire world had turned away from him, Noah's family was saved alongside Noah. And today we're going to be looking at the story through the eyes of Father's Day, that example that Noah gave to his sons on how to live in God's world instead of in our own world. But before we go do that, we wanted to wish our dads here a happy Father's Day, right? Because just like we talked about on Mother's Day, we know that dads come in all shapes and sizes, that having a child doesn't make you a dad. It's showing up every single day for that child that makes you a dad. And because of that, we have dads that go by all sorts of different names, right? Teacher and coach, uncle, dad, brother, all sorts of names. Daddy, there you go, all sorts of names for the people who help lead us in our lives the way God leads us. And so we wanted to say thank you and happy Father's Day to our church dads here. So I'm going to have all my kiddos stand up and not touch the music stand. We're going to stand right here. And my readers can read along. I know some of us practiced it during Sunday school. So my readers are going to read along. My little kids, we're going to smile and look pretty, right? Are you guys ready? All right.
Band, no media hype, but through my eyes it's plain to see heroes.
Amen. Thank you, my kiddos, and happy Father's Day to all of our awesome church dads who lead us and guide us in God's faith. We're going to exit straight out the back for Spark Worship to learn more about Noah.
Our scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. It's a passage that I think you will be familiar with. And then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to see need. And so he went and he hired himself out as one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would have gladly filled himself with pods that the pigs were eating, if no one had given him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your own hired hands.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran to him and he put his arms around him and he kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am not worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field. When he came and he approached the house and he heard music and dancing, and he called to one of the slaves and said, 'What's going on?' And the slave replied, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' And then the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, but you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when a son of yours came back who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.' The word of God for the people of God.
Happy Father's Day. One day a young boy was really excited about getting to go fishing with his dad. The inquisitive 7-year-old had lots of questions. "Dad," he asked, "what makes this boat float?" Father replied, "Son, I don't know." A few minutes later, the youngster asked, "Dad, how can the fish breathe underwater?" Father replied, "I never thought of that before. I don't know." After a few minutes of silence, the boy had another question, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" "Son, I don't rightly know." Another few minutes passed. Then the youngster asked, "Dad, does it bother you that I ask all these questions?" His father thought for a moment and said, "No, son, it doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I'm glad you ask questions. How else are you going to learn anything if you don't ask questions?" Tragically, over time, children figure out that their parents are not the perfect person that they first were envisioned. In fact, their human flaws may have inflicted hurts that may make growing children wonder, does my father love me? Am I worth caring for? Will people accept me? The saddest aspect of this process is that it may even change their picture of God. The fatherhood of God comes as one of the dearest truths of Scripture. He is portrayed as Jesus, as the kindest of fathers, always available, accepting us even when we have failed him, and giving us good gifts because he loves us. And yet, how many experience that father? Many believe in a God who is hard to please, stingy, slightly on the grouchy side, and with good memory for all our failures. Jesus told a parable about two sons, an extravagant son and an older brother, the conservative. I'm not using this scripture today because Roy and I are brothers. This worked out just by coincidence. We both came to these two jobs separately, and here we are. The two sons viewed their father differently, and it affected what they received from him. The way you see God will determine what you ask from him and what you eventually become. He became the Father we worship. If your heavenly Father is caring, forgiving, and faithful to his promises, you'll grow into that kind of person. If, however, your God is moody and difficult to get along with and unfair, you'll probably be the same way. Tell me about your father, and what is your God like? Many Christians who have sung, "Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so," don't really believe that because that's not their experience. But thank God, Jesus can heal the sorrows that life has dealt so that we can learn from the hardships and not grow bitter. The Bible says of God, he heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Jesus can reveal to you what the Father is truly like so that you can experience his care firsthand. The Bible says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known. Are you seeking God through glasses fogged up by life's hurts? What is your father like? Is your father accepting? A boy who had received C's in his report card was challenged by his father. You should be getting B's. The boy worked hard, and he showed his father an improvement. And his father said, you really should be getting A's. Dejected and determined, the boy went to work to please his father, the one person in the world that made a difference to him. How proud he was when he was finally able to bring home a report card of mostly all A's. And the father looked at it and said, you probably have easy teachers. Whatever rejection you've received from family or friends, know that your Father in heaven receives you just as you are. Think of yourself at your worst. Are you any worse off than the prodigal son who wanted what the father had to give without having the father? He'd squandered his father's gifts, shamed his name, yet he was never rejected. When he returned home, he was welcomed, not with a rebuke, but with rejoicing. God found you before you found him. He adopted you because he wanted to pour out his love upon you. John writes, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. Is your Father available? My children have come to me saying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I replied, you don't have to say it three times. Once is enough. Maybe it wasn't. Sometimes we parents are so preoccupied with more important things that we fail to hear the request of the little people. How often do we get the busy signal, How often do they get a busy signal when they call us up? I think that as we age, that situation turns around. Parents really need to hear from their children. When my children became teenagers, I made it a point once in a while around bedtime, instead of sending them to bed, I gave one of them the privilege of staying up later and inviting them into my office in my home and start a conversation, a discussion about things we didn't normally talk about. How much money does Dad make? What do I do in my job? What could you do to make better grades? At some point, while eventually doing this with Randy, Beverly, and Brittany, they gave me a gift, a plaque from my office door. It says, "Dad's Den, open for advice and hugs." The kids are out of my house, but the plaque of invitation is still there. Scripture portrays God as a father who loves to spend time with his children. He jealously watches over us like a young parent staring into the crib of an infant. God never sleeps. He never takes his eyes off of you. He waits for you much more than you wait for him. To count his thoughts about you is like counting grains of sand. When the prodigal finally returned home, the scripture says, while he was still at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion. He was surely watching every day, never losing hope, waiting for the beloved son to return. The father has no more important matter in the universe than to be with you. Is your father caring? On the Nextdoor app on your phones, daily, there's video records of children out in the neighborhood in the middle of the night shaking car doors to see if any of them are open, if there's something there to steal. They stoop to theft and other crimes in hope of finding an instant of pleasure or profit in an otherwise painful experience at home. There's the father whose daughter's getting A's at a prestigious Eastern university to go to law school at Harvard. She feels the call to a mission field, but doesn't want to disappoint her father. He has his own image of what his daughter should be. This parent's demanding ways are making a nervous wreck out of this child. The father of the prodigal had welcomed him even before he got near the house. It says, while he was still at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Our Heavenly Father does not look for opportunities to get even. He looks for ways to show his mercy. Like every tender earthly father, he would rather suffer than see us suffer. That's why he sent his only son to go to the cross. The treatment the prodigal received when he was away from home was summed up in five words. No one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. How many are silently suffering with this same testimony? They did not receive what they expected, pleasure, but they got what they didn't expect, rejection. Maybe that's your story. Turn to the merciful Father. He cares about you. Is your father forgiving? I've heard of people whose parents seem to keep a mental tally of all their kids' mistakes, whether or not they're trying to consciously even the score, they're at least saying, I can't forget what you did to me. Perhaps the prodigal expected that from his father. He was prepared to work as a hired servant. He knew that he had wasted a generous inheritance. He surely did not anticipate the shower of gifts he received on his homecoming. As the days moved on, he might have wondered, when is he going to come down on me? I certainly deserve it, at least probably give me a good talking to. I certainly deserve it. He was amazed to find instead the consistent compassion of a forgiving father. But it doesn't make sense. How can you just forgive someone who's disgraced their family and you, left irresponsibly, not doing his share of the work? If you have trouble with that, so did the elder brother. He had to take up the slack. He was a hardworking and wasn't about to let this incident go by without comment, much less to celebrate his brother's return. Is that the kind of reception you would expect from the father when you came back from backsliding? Are you still waiting for him to drop the bomb? Are you interpreting the hardships of life as his way of getting even with you for disobeying him? Hear then the words of the new covenant that trumpet forth the truth from the Father. I will remember their sins and their misdeeds no more. I will remember their sins and their misdeeds no more. Abraham Lincoln was asked how he would treat the Southerners after the Civil War. He replied, as if they never left. God treats sinners as if they never left. Is that the God you worship? Is your Heavenly Father forgiving? Is your Father generous? I once had a friend who was not close to his military officer father. Hard to get relationship there. Both found it hard to be reconciled and express genuine love. This neighbor found it hard to receive the blessings of God unconditionally. He expected God to pull the rug out from under him and under his secure and happy life. How could he deserve the kindness that God was showing him? The prodigal left home because he wanted more than what he thought he could get at home. On returning, he received all the things that he failed to get out in the world. He had a confession all prepared, but he barely started it into it when his father interrupted and said to the servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and make merry. Let's celebrate." The son had acted foolishly with the inheritance. He deserved nothing more. His father, however, had the heart of a father. His son had known him as a generous man. Not only had he been willing to divide the property before he was obligated to do so, after all, he wasn't dead yet, but he always cared for his family and employees generously. In the words of the son, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread and more?" Elder brother seemed to know a different father. He spoke bitterly. "These many years I've served you, yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." The man he worked for was a hard-driving boss. He gave the pay you deserved, but nothing more. Jealous older son said to the father, "When this son of yours came, who has devoured your living and harlots, you kill for him the fatted calf." The father's reply again shows his generous heart. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." After I got my bachelor's degree from Trinity University, I went off to Georgia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia, to get a master's degree in mechanical engineering. It wasn't the first time I'd been away from home, but it was the farthest and longest I would be away in a while. After I got there, one day I pulled down the sun visor on my 56 Pontiac, found a note from my dad. He said, "If you ever need me or anything, you can reach me at this post office box. I'm the only one that opens it." My dad didn't have much money to be generous with, but he was always available with his time and his help. Fortunately, I never had to call in that favor. Is your father happy? My dad was a salesman. He was a people person. He had lots of friends. When the prodigal returned home, the father said, "Let us eat and make merry. It was time to celebrate." Jesus had told the Pharisees in two previous parables that heaven rejoices when sinners come home. It is godly to celebrate because it is like God. The older son was uncomfortable with the father's merriment. Life was too serious. There was work to be done. The son didn't deserve such revelry. How compassionate the father was to go to his angry son who refused to join the party. How patient was his response. He said, "It was fitting to make merry and to be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Ecclesiastes says, "There's a time to mourn and a time to dance." God always knows what time it is. May we see him not as a grouchy old man who gains sadistic satisfaction from keeping us from joy, but as an eternally happy father who loves to rejoice with his children. If your God is a grouch, you may be too. If your God is a cheerful, loving father, that is just what he is making you into. Is your father sovereign? A teenage boy lives with his grandmother because his parents are separated and the mother can't afford to keep him. His mom promises to take him shopping next Saturday. He waits. She never comes. She never calls. A week later, she says casually, "Oh, something came up last Saturday. Maybe we can go next weekend." She doesn't realize that she's building patterns of distrust in a boy who desperately wants to love someone who keeps their promises. He's finally let down so many times that he no longer expects her or anyone else to do what they say. He gives up on life ever being anything but one big disappointment. From the time he was young, he's been wounded, shoved from here to there, misused, abused, forgotten, and neglected. That becomes his life story. When you tell him that God cares, he shouts back, "Prove it. I don't see a lot of love." He may be the young man that buys an AK-47. Another version of this story happened to me when I was a ropes course facilitator for the Boy Scouts. Ropes course is a game with a purpose, and the one that we were playing dealt with trust. After we played the game, we sat down in a circle and processed how the game went, what happened. We talked about the fact that trust is very difficult to build up, to make it strong. And then we talked about how trust is very fragile, and once it's broken, it might never be built back again. One of the boys opened up and said, "I've got to go home and make apologies to my mom. I've been lying to her and breaking my promises. I've ripped her off badly." When a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People came out, it quickly became a bestseller. It struggles with the question of suffering. It proposes that the divine has the power of persuasion rather than force. The Bible describes a God who reverses impossible situations. Because he sits on the throne, and always has, he was able to do with our lives what no one else can. He can take the rubble of the prodigal and put it together into a meaningful whole. He can mend shattered lives. He can give those who mourn a heart full of praise instead of fainting spirit. He is faithful to the thousandth generation. He's never broken a promise. He saw you when you took your first steps and heard your first word. He was there when you were so fearful that you thought your heart would stop. He was loving you silently. He waits for you to acknowledge his love so that he can prove it to you. Jesus startled the disciples by talking about God as his father. No pious Jew would presume such a relationship. And yet, when they asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he instructed them to say, our Father. Paul writes that people who have been estranged from God, but adopted by God, learn a new word when the Spirit comes into them. Father, Abba. Will you abandon all the pictures of God that have been formed out of your own hurt or rebellion? Have you been unsure of his care? Are you still trying to be accepted? Do nagging guilt feelings still leave you lonely and distant from him? Do you continue to think he's getting even with you? Will you believe that the Father of Jesus Christ can be your Father too? Will you trust in him who sits on the throne to masterfully weave your life into a pattern of beauty even now? Will you come back home? He waits to love you.
At this time, I invite you to prepare your hearts for the giving of our tithes and offerings to our Lord. When asked why I give, I reflect that I've been very blessed in my life, richly so. And so it's only right that it all came from God in the first place, so it's only right that I give it back to him. So it's real simple for me. I give because he gave. At this time, will the ushers come forward for the offering?
Seeing every pain. knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same, just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, just like my father's eyes.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you can satisfy our every desire and our need. Your word says that we should give honor to you with the first fruits of our wealth. Accept our tithes and offerings as a gift of worship to you. Multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom. May Christ dwell in our hearts through the faith that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we be filled with all the fullness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
If you have an interest in joining this congregation, we would love to have you. I invite you to come back in 2 weeks, and next week and the following week, when the preacher will be here to accept you. Okay, the mission statement will be on the screen shortly. There we go. Would you join me in repeating that? The mission
of Ellis Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and of the world.
As you go from here, remember this. God's love is from everlasting to everlasting, from generation to generation. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion on those who fear him, who listen to his voice, and to do his will. Go out in the knowledge that the everlasting love of God goes with you. Amen. Go in peace. May God's blessing be upon you.